Welcome back to Golden Hour, a podcast spotlighting Asian musicians. My name is Charlene Kay.
And I'm Dave Yim. So, Char, we've talked before about how you spent your formative years growing up in Hawaii. We had Leah Thomas, an indie folk singer-songwriter on the show who was also from Hawaii and who was inspired by the natural world that she grew up around. And you and I took a trip together a few years ago to Hawaii with my wife, Deb, which was an amazing transformative trip for me. So I feel like Hawaii has been a reoccurring theme on the show.
Absolutely. I did Tiger Daughter, my one-woman show about my mom in Hawaii this past winter for my mom. Very emotional, very healing and hilarious. And it's been heavy on my mind too, which is probably why my algorithm has been feeding me Hawaii content, which is how I stumbled upon today's guest who, oh my gosh, I texted Dave the second that I saw this reel. This is like one of the few gifts that the algorithm has given me. There were these boys who were rapping and singing and dancing about Hawaii. And their moves were so fire. They were like popping and locking and like serving face, like giving so much explosive energy to the camera, and I was blown away. Body in my mind, saying never leave a family behind. So I'ma sing it to you till you come alive. We get high on the prize, so don't hide when you're feeling unfamiliar, unfamiliar. Got extended list of flags in my familiar. I texted the reel to Dave and I was like, Dave, I must have them. Like I was like a person catching Pokemon. Like we got to catch this one. Like this one I want for the pod. So I DM'd them and I was like, hey, I'm a huge fan already. I'd love to interview you guys. And to my surprise, they wrote back and they were like, we would love to be on your podcast. So this group is called Crossing Rain. It's named after the intermittent rains that come through the islands every single day. There wouldn't be beautiful plants and rainbows without the rain that characterizes the Pacific Islands. So it seems very appropriate to me that there are all different, there's so many different emotional palettes within their music. It's wistful. It pays such beautiful tribute to the islands that raised them. Their single that I was first acquainted with called Unfamiliar is a true like hype homage to Hawaii, and it really calls out their native Hawaiian culture and each of their heritage. And I just found it so moving. In the music video, they have these tableaus that they've created of all of their family members. So you just see this like intergenerational love from each of the five members.
So Char, this is a boy band. So there are five members naturally, which is the largest number of interview guests we've had on the show so far. So I'm wondering if you could break down who is who in Crossing Rain. And One thing I got going through this interview was that they all do have very distinct personalities, again, like any good boy band. So could you break down all of the members for us?
Of course. So this band debuted in 2021. They were conceived by a Hawaiian entertainment company trying to create a group that was inspired by K-pop. So they sing, they dance, they rap. But unlike traditional K-pop groups, they write everything themselves. They choreograph everything themselves. And they are like a well-oiled machine. So the distinct personalities of all of the boys is what makes this group so unique. Asher is he's the second to the youngest. He came up in the dance battle scene and he just has such a mischievous energy about him. The way that he moves his body and like the way that he sticks out his tongue and like flirts with the camera. It just makes me so happy. Monarch is the leader of the group. They are non-binary. Their pronouns are they, them. And for someone that is only 23, they exude such a wisdom and such a groundedness, which I think is important for the leader of any group. We got Jay, also known as Jordan, who is native Hawaiian. And in this interview, you're going to hear him speak about the pride that he feels about his native Hawaiian heritage and also some of the problems that come with protecting your culture against gentrification, against colonization, something that I don't think that a lot of people really talk about enough when it comes to Hawaii. Devin is the crooner of the group. He is such a beautiful singer and dancer. Anytime there's like a big R&B hook, you can expect to hear him soaring above the rest of the melody and production. And Shotaro is what is called the maknae of the group, which in K-pop terms means the baby or the youngest. Shotaro is 15, English is his second language, he's Japanese, and he is a killer dancer. They are such a force to be reckoned with, and it would not surprise me at all if they took over the world in the next several years.
Yeah, one thing that I love about featuring Crossing Rain on this podcast is it really reflects that intersection of Hawaiian culture, Pacific Island culture, and Asian culture. I mean, Hawaii is a place that has the largest percentage of any Asian population of any U.S. state. And a quarter of people in Hawaii identify as mixed race. And I think that everyone in the group is either Asian or mixed race. And I think there's Filipino, Japanese, of course, Native Hawaiian, as we mentioned. So there's such a reflection of what modern Hawaii looks like and that blend of cultures from the Pacific that it has become.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love the fact that Hawaii is a place that has such a rich musical history to, you know, the ukulele and all of the artists that came out of Hawaii, slack key guitar. But I love that they're bringing this very modern take of like boy band, K-pop, very 21st century, and fusing it with, you know, their Hawaiian roots and what they know.
Yeah, 100%. Here's a clip of the song Black Hole Heart by Crossing Rain. So hard, give me one more chance, give me one fresh start. Baby, you're so perfect, you're so worth it. I'll be good for you. In my black hole heart, it's been made so hard. So without further ado, please enjoy my interview with Crossing Rain. You guys are in the middle of a press blitz right now. You've been releasing a lot of music. How has it felt? You released Welcome to the Show last year. You released Unfamiliar. I feel like you've really been blowing up on Instagram and making a lot of not just Hawaii fans, but fans all over the world. Let's just get some hot takes on how everybody's been experiencing this ride.
It's been super exciting, a little bit overwhelming, but in a good way. And also inspiring. I think that we all have dreams of performing on big stages and going viral. And, you know, we started in 2021 and we're starting to see that now. And so it's been a long time coming, but we're so excited about this year and stoked for the future.
I really like K-pop. My sister and I have gone to many K-pop shows. We're huge stans. And so I think partially because my whole explore page is like dancing and NCT and like wavy and like that whole scene, it makes sense that a group from Hawaii that is K-pop inspired would appeal to me. And that said, I found you guys really interesting because you are a K-pop inspired group and your music resembles K-pop in its production that seems to span different genres of hip hop and R&B and pop, but you sing in English and sometimes Japanese. And you don't have the experience of being trainees in a facility and like owing the label tons of money and like doing the trainee to idol pipeline. So I'm curious, do you discipline yourselves to work hard and train the way you have? And how did you find each other?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think we've gotten asked that before. We, for a while, for the past, I want to say 2 years of our career, a lot of that discipline came from us, like you said. So Monarch, being the very good leader that they are, enforce everyday work ethic and, you know, keeping each other accountable because we didn't have the K-pop trainee experience. So a lot of the cardio that we did was self motivated. We did our own vocals, we choreographed our own stuff. Luckily, with the help of our new entertainment label, we outsource help now from Hawaii, of course. We have a dance coach, we have designers, we have people who invest in us. And we don't have to carry that load as much as we did in the past, but we're very grateful for all of them. And we still, a lot of the work and practice that we put in is still a lot of self-motivation. So we're very proud of what we put out. And yeah.
That was Jordan speaking for all of our new listeners. That is so cool. And that's one thing that really stood out to me about your group is that you have so much creative freedom. And when you're an idol, you don't. Like, you are basically at the whim of the label to sing a song that's already been written and demoed for you. So it's amazing that you're also your own choreographers, even though you have dance coaches and a full team. Asher, I saw that you are one of the choreographers that you have history in the dance battle world. Is that true?
Yes, cool. That is true.
I'd love that to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I've been dancing since I was like 3 years old. I came in as like a freestyler, loved doing dance battles and all of that. And it was really interesting choreographing for Crossing Rain because this is my first time choreographing like as a group. And plus I'm in it singing as well. So it was pretty hard. But yeah, it was super fun. And like, you know, like Devin, Chotato, like we all like choreograph and we all like, it's like when we choreograph, it's like different like flows, different energies. And we just all like combine like as a group, you know, so it's really awesome.
Well, thank you for that, Asher. And you said that Shotaro also choreographs as well?
Yes. So like Devin, Shotaro and I are like the dance like lead for Crossing Rain. And of course we're trying to get like Jay and like Monarch there like choreographing as well, you know, getting everyone all involved.
And it's also interesting because Asher and Shotaro, you guys are the youngest.
Yes, we are, Sho.
Yes, I'm 15 and I believe Asher's 16. We're still in school. We do online school. I'm a freshman and Asher's a junior. Yeah, we take online schools because it's more effective to our Crossing Rain schedule. So
you can't, you can't let school get in the way of you being a pop star.
Yes, for sure.
I'm your bad tiger mom telling you to prioritize your art.
Yes.
I watched the Unfamiliar video so many times, and it was so meaningful that you have your families in it, which is not something that a lot of pop music, especially K-pop, really does. Like, you, in that you're really honoring the multi-generational aspect of your culture and your heritage. I'm going to throw this question to Devin because I haven't heard from you yet, but I would love to hear your experience of making that video and how you invited your parents and your family to be a part of it and what that was like.
Yeah, of course. Well, here in Hawaii, we really value family because our community is what helps to support us and push us to, you know, be a better person. So we really wanted to showcase our family and the people who pushed us to, you know, be in Crossing Rain and to supported us all this time. And I asked my family and they're very hesitant at first because they didn't really want to be in a music video. But I'm really grateful that they came through. And I think that it was really special to be able to showcase them and to just show everyone, you know, this is what we're about here. And I think that if we just, you know, continue supporting each other as a community, then we'll make it, you know.
Yeah. You said that they were resistant to being in the video.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because they were like camera shy or?
I mean, they're just a lot more, you know, reserved people. They just kind of keep to themselves. So it took a little convincing to, you know, just draw them out. But I'm glad that they're also glad. And they love how the video came out. Every time we watch it, every time they show up on screen, they're like, there I am. So it's super funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Asian parents like, okay, fine. If you want me on camera, I'll just.
If you insist. Yeah. And then just take it all. Yeah.
I'll throw this over to Jordan. How do your parents feel about you pursuing this path? And how has it been navigating this like kind of ascent with Asian parents? Because I know that you are Native Hawaiian, right?
Yes. Sorry. I am Native Hawaiian and Asian. And well, thankfully, and I've been blessed with a family who has brought me up in music. And I'm blessed to have a role model in my life. and multiple role models in my life who have been successful in the music industry. So I take a lot of learning experiences, a lot of inspiration from my father, from my stepfather, my grandfather, who have, all three of them have made successful careers in the music industry. And my entire family has supported me and will continue to support me in my career of choice. Ever since I was young, I always told them that I wanted to be on stage and perform, mm-hmm. Whether that be Hawaiian music or pop music, what I'm doing now. And yeah, I'm very thankful and very blessed to have a family that supports my career.
That's amazing. You were I saw somewhere that you gigged full time before joining XR, or like you were a side musician.
Yes, I started gigging when I was 15 in high school. And so I gigged at hotels, restaurants, weddings, mm-hmm. your gig for hire.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of weddings in Hawaii, it turns out.
Yep.
Monarch, well, I would love to know how you got started into music and who some of your earliest influences were.
Ooh, I got into music when I was in high school just for fun, honestly. I was actually pursuing soccer originally since I was like 5-6 years old. But I found music when I was in high school. Me and my friend, we were just jamming. We tried to like make a song on GarageBand, and I just instantly fell in love. And I ended up quitting soccer because I wanted to pursue music full time. And so after high school, I would work part time jobs and then try to do my music part time as well. And somehow that has manifested into, you know, Crossing Rain, and that's manifested into all of our newest singles. And so our latest one is Black Hole Heart. You can go check that one out. It's available everywhere. And Too Little Too Late also came out last month in January. So, you know, it's available on all streaming platforms. The music videos are out as well, and we hope everyone's enjoying those.
Amazing. I'd love to hear about the inspiration behind Black Hole Heart, along with the experience of shooting the music video, if anybody wants to talk about that.
So, the music video for Black Hole Heart, we really enjoyed filming it. The set was really fun. We had like the projectors, like a black hole heart, like galaxies. It was super fun. It was one of my favorite music videos.
And do you guys work with one director and DP typically, or do you storyboard and concept it yourself? How does the creative process for that work when creating the visuals?
So we've worked with two directors so far. Our first three music videos, Comeback, Welcome to the Show, and Unfamiliar, were actually directed by my dad. So shout out to my dad. As well, the Unfamiliar music video as well, which is on YouTube. You can check that out. You can see him in there. Too Little Too Late and Black Hole Heart music videos were directed by the amazing Evan Fujimoto. He's a member of our production team, actually, who helped produce the songs as well. So we, you know, there's so much talent in Hawaii. People doing, you know, wearing different hats, and they're so amazing, and we couldn't, you know, do what we do without our team. So big shout out to them. And if you want to check out all these videos, like, they're all on YouTube, and we're super excited about them, stoked for them.
Yes. Crossing Rain is a great Instagram follow for everyone listening. It's so entertaining. Not only do you guys do versions of your own dance challenges, but you also stay very up to date with what's going on in K-pop. And I see that you do the K-pop dance challenges and stuff. Is there one person in the group that goes, okay, let's do this today? Like, XG just released a song. Let's do this. Who's our content king?
You want to answer that, Devin?
Oh, me? I was going to say Asher, I think. I mean, I'm the K-pop connoisseur, I guess. I just stay updated with K-pop. I love K-pop is life, you know. But I just love K-pop so much. But I let the group know, like, oh yeah, this dance or song just came out. It'd be cool if we do it. But I think Asher is more of a social media person. He likes to create ideas for content, and he kind of just brings it to fruition. So I think it's a group effort in that sense.
How about the rest of you? Do you listen to K-pop?
I'm a big fan of K-pop, but also Jordan, Monarch, Asher, everybody's in love with K-pop, and that's because of Devin. He introduced us K-pop in the first, and we get inspired by K-pop a lot.
All right, who's everyone's bias? Like, who's everybody's like favorite person that they're either influenced by or like want to be?
I'll say mine. Mine is Taeyong of NCT.
That was going to be my answer, actually.
Oh, really?
Because you know, his rapping and dancing is so strong. I really look up to him as a leader as well of totally. A huge group like NCT.
Yeah. I love all the solo stuff that he's been doing lately. K-pop got me into dancing. Like, I was 30 when I discovered it. And because the community of K-pop online is so vibrant, there's so many tutorials. Like, the second something drops, there's like 50 tutorials on the dance. So how about you, Jordan?
I have a few biases, but as far as like a bias that I take inspiration from, it would probably be Jimin of BTS. I don't know why, I just, he's cool.
He is cool.
Yeah, I try to emulate him in many ways.
Yeah,
with mixing my own persona too. So
In what way? Like your own persona when you're performing?
Yeah, in my performance, in social media, in music videos, I try to take inspiration from Jimin and try to mix it with what the message I'm trying to say.
Right.
I also like Jimin's like clothing style and fashion. It's very androgynous. It's classic.
And
I love to dress like that. So that's just one example of how I'm taking inspiration.
Absolutely. K-pop is so fluid, and I appreciate how there are different expressions of masculinity within it. How about you, Asher?
My, I guess, bias for BTS, I would just say like J-Hope, because, you know, he's like the lead dancer and everything. And like, funny story, so coming in the group, I wasn't like really like into K-pop, but every time Devin used to always pick me up for dance practice, and Devin always played K-pop music. And I just got like into it. I was like, Devin was showing me like all like the groups and everything. And Devin even invited me to go see Twice concert, but I wasn't ready for their flames, their hot fire. I wasn't ready for it. But yeah, it was like, so yeah, I like J-Hope. But yeah.
Yes, I agree. J-Hope is my BTS bias for sure.
Yes.
How about you, Devin?
The two like main K-pop idols that I take inspiration from is Jungkook of BTS and Jihyo from Twice. Mm-hmm. I just love their performance aspect. Like, Jihyo is an amazing performer, and Jungkook is a very stable and an awesome vocalist and dancer. So they really inspire me to push myself and become a better performer like them.
Absolutely. And Jungkook is having such a moment right now.
Oh, definitely.
American pop music. Yeah. He's like, yeah, it's been so cool to see for the representation, and also just like seeing him collaborate with R&B legends like Usher. That feels like such a milestone.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you, Shatara?
My K-pop bias is probably Nicki from ENHYPEN.
Mm-hmm.
He started in a very young age, like me. I love his dance style, and his fashion also kind of inspired me a little bit in the dance practices. He wears a lot of baggy clothes, and yeah, I just love his dance styles and yeah, just everything about him. So I take inspiration from him. Yeah, we take a lot of inspirations from K-pop. We love J-pop. We love reggae. Mm-hmm. We love EDM. We love all kinds of genres, and we like to mix all that genres together and make this unique sounds for our fans. So yeah, that's what we love to do.
Yes. So is this drip of singles leading up to an album? Because you have a bunch, you have an EP that has two songs, and then you have two other singles. And then with Too Little Too Late and Black Hole Heart, is it building to something, or is it going to continue to be a slow drip until for a bigger project?
Shoot, I guess you're just going to have to wait and find out.
All right. Okay.
Follow us on Instagram.
The fans want to know. Asher.
But there will be answers. And also, yeah. I actually just want to shout out our Patreon, the Thunder League.
That's right.
If you want to join our fan club, the Thunder League, we actually have a chat room in there where Crossing Rain, we jump in there and we get to talk to our fans, and we have an amazing community building there. And we we might, you know, spill a little bit of tea in, you know, in the Thunder League. So if you want to, you know, maybe hear some about some new upcoming stuff before anybody else, then yeah, you can check out our Patreon. You can tap the link in our Instagram bio to find it.
Hi, I'm Quincy Cho.
And I'm Kaycon Apu. And we host Marvel Makeup. It's a podcast where I teach Quincy a little about Marvel.
And I teach Kay a little bit about makeup. Join us as we watch and talk about every movie and TV show in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I'm mostly watching for the first time.
And join us as we apply makeup stuff to our faces, which I'm using for the first time. Marvel Makeup is part of the Potluck Podcast Collective, and you can find new episodes every other Monday wherever you listen to podcasts.
And you can catch video versions of Marvel and Makeup on our YouTube channel. So please rate, review, and subscribe. And please give us 5 stars so our Asian moms will understand why we buy so much electronic equipment.
Because it's for this podcast, Marvel and Makeup.
So singing about your hood is part of the legacy of hip-hop. Like, you have Biggie repping the East Coast, you have Tupac repping the West Coast, and I feel like you don't see a lot of pop groups coming out of Hawaii necessarily. We got like Bruno Mars, who is pretty firmly entrenched in like the mainland kind of culture, and we have The Rock, who talks about Hawaii all the time, but he's not a musician. And Jordan, I've heard you talk before about how you want people to understand the Hawaiian culture and what happens to folks there beyond just the tourist culture. It's a big part of your song, Unfamiliar. And there's so many particular shout outs from the particular food that you guys eat to it being beyond something, to beyond a place to come and get a tan, and not just the vacation elements. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about why that's important to you and why you want to educate people in addition to just entertaining them.
Yeah, thank you for that question. As a native Hawaiian, it means a lot to me. And it's very important to me. Especially to represent my home and my people, especially because we've been misrepresented and mistreated throughout history for over 200 years. So when people come here to, you know, get a tan or vacation, it diminishes their ability to appreciate the beauty of the people here and the beauty of the land. And because we, as Hawaiians, we're deeply rooted into our land, into our aina. And so we have a spiritual connection to the things that we eat, the things that we grow. And I just want to educate people on the truth about modern Hawaiian history and the truth about what actually happens here to me and my people, because it's very important that people understand and they come here and they appreciate my culture, because, you know, everybody just wants to come here and spend a lot of money and go to a nice hotel and see Diamond Head. But it's much more than rainbows and sunshine. There's deep rooted culture here in my blood and in the lands here. And it's very important to me to be able to educate people on that.
All of the songs that I've heard so far are bangers. Like, they make me so hype to be from Hawaii. And I think that anyone that listens to your music for the first time will be really hype as well to be a part of this party. And I'm wondering if in the future when you're writing, is the darker aspect of what you just talked about something that you're interested in including in your music once you've like hooked the fans, like come for the dancing and stay for the culture kind of thing?
Yeah, of course. Monica and I especially talk about this a lot. And looking at the feedback and the support that we've gotten from Unfamiliar, we definitely want to include more, I guess, more truths, more things, more controversial topics that we want to talk about and share and educate on with people and our fans especially. Because we've built this community of trust and that we've built a safe space. And I believe that our fans and the people that we've create supporters out of will support us in that way And this is very important to us to, like, we're not here to just entertain as well. You know, we want to be a force of aloha and a force of truth and represent not just Hawaii, but everybody, hopefully in a respectful way.
Monarch, do you want to add to that?
Sure. I mean, Jordan, yeah, nailed it as always when he gets questions related to that. But as a person that's, you know, a part of the LGBT community as well, that's another community that we really try to create, you know, safe spaces for, and being able to talk to our funder that are also a part of the LGBT community or the trans community. They've approached me before and thanked me kind of for being for being in this space, in a pop space, especially because we get compared to K-pop a lot and we don't really see that too often, or at least artists who are very open. And so I feel very blessed that I get to be in this position to you know, hopefully inspire, you know, other LGBTQ plus and trans people. I just wanted to add that on the end as well.
Well, that personally means a lot to me. I'm also queer, and just finding out that you guys are a member of the LGBT community makes me even that more excited to amplify your message and to shout it out to our queer fans as well. I really love what you guys said about this connection to the land and it being a very spiritual experience. Every time I'm in Hawaii, I feel that so deeply. My stepdad who raised me passed away and we scattered his ashes in Hawaii. And so every time I go there, I just feel this sense of like there being no barrier between the human experience and the planet experience, and the veil between the human spirit and the experience of the trees and of the water, which is not something that I often feel in New York, where everyone is very ambitious and everyone's focused on building their career, and including me. Like, it's easy to get caught up in the capitalism of it all over here. So I'm wondering how you balance this spiritual connection to your land and also this business mind that you have to slip into sometimes when you're building a career. Like, I can see, without knowing you guys, that you have big goals. Like, I can see you guys becoming a huge band, and I'm really glad that I caught you before you became too big for me to talk to you. But you all have such star power, and the songs that I hear, I could hear on the radio internationally. So I'd love to hear what you think about that, because it's going to be such an important part of staying grounded emotionally as you get bigger and bigger. Is that something that you've thought about as you get more and more success? Maybe I'll ask Shotaro, because we haven't heard from him in a minute.
Sorry if I misunderstand the question, because English is my second language. And
oh, that's okay.
I'm still learning English, so.
Yeah. However you want to talk about it.
Totally I would like to answer as we're super humbled to, you know, start from Hawaii. We love this place. We love all the nature, all the cultures that's around Hawaii, and it's very humbling to start from, you know, over here and spread the culture around the world and spread it to the fans. So
how about you, Devin? I guess my question was, as you are becoming more and more famous, how do you see you maintaining this relationship of the Aina within yourself and keeping this connection spiritually to your hometown, which doesn't go hand in hand with, say, playing the VMAs or like thinking about record sales or like seeing streaming numbers? Like, I feel like those two things can be kind of like oppositional sometimes.
I think a big part of that is going to come from the members ourselves. It's also our family too, but I think because as members, we're going through this together, it's a very unique experience to us. And it's our job to also to ground each other and to make sure that we all, you know, move together as one and stay together as one, and we rise and fall as one as well. So I think we just have to all, you know, come together and make sure that we know where we came from and remind each other of what's really important and why we're doing this.
Yeah. What motivates you to keep going when you're in the studio, when you're performing, if things get a little bit hard with like the business aspect of things?
I feel like what motivates us is really the fans, because we want to put the best like the best songs, the best of our abilities, like dancing wise, singing wise, our vocals. So when things get hard, we always think about like Thunder, like the fans and all that, you know, we just want to make the best for them.
Yeah. You have your own fan chants. They've got, you have your own, what do you call that?
I'm the making XR an, logo.
Yes. I'm making an X with my hands and dropping one of my hands.
Yeah.
The letters, which you'll see me doing front row at your shows. You've talked about how you wish that people knew that Hawaii was more than just the hotels and the touristy aspects. What are some aspects, what would you wish that tourists would do when they came to Hawaii? Like, what's one thing that you wish that they would see or experience about your culture and the homeland?
For me, I just want people to respect the land here. I don't mind people, you know, coming here and, you know, spending a lot of money and stuff, because sometimes I like to go down Waikiki and spend money. That's just, you know, something that people like to do. I love to shop. But when you come here, I just hope that people respect the land, you know, respect the people here, and that will take some education on what's truly here. So when you come here, if you don't know much about the people, the area, the land, the history of it, it just takes a little bit of motivation on your end to educate yourself on why you feel so good here. Like, go out on the beach, soak up the sun, and then take a step back and then try to understand why it feels so good to be here. You know, don't just like come here, soak up the sun, go back in your hotel room, and then go walk around the Royal Hawaiian and spend thousands of dollars of Louis Vuitton. Like, you know, take a step back and really understand why it feels so good to be here, why there's like some sort of connection to be on vacation, you know. Just, you know, motivate yourself to educate yourself.
Mm-hmm. And come check out Crossing Rain Show too.
Yeah, that too. And because we'll educate you.
Yes, absolutely. Anyone else want to add to that? Like, anything they wish that people would experience?
I can add stuff. As someone who's like very white passing, I'm Okinawan and mixed European, but as someone who's very white passing and who grew up in Hawaii Kai, I didn't get the most authentic of, you know, Hawaiian experiences in that way. And the education system also doesn't do the best job of teaching, you know, the true history, at least public education system here. And so after I graduated, I that's kind of when I started my journey of actually understanding this place where I live. And when I met Jordan really started to teach me about, you know, the history and the truth and more about Hawaiian culture. And I realized the importance of connecting. And so I would encourage everyone who wants to visit Hawaii to, you know, get immersed in the culture as much as you can, you know, whether that's going to the Polynesian Cultural Center or taking a hula class or taking an Olelo Hawaii class, a Hawaiian language class, because the even though the beauty of Waikiki is real and you know, Ala Moana is fun, it's beautiful, the real true beauty of Hawaii lies within the land and its people, in my opinion. And that's what I've been discovering, and that's what's been inspiring me to write songs like Unfamiliar with Jordan. So that's what I would encourage anyone who wants to visit Hawaii to do, because I promise you that it will inspire you and uplift you in a way that is unmatched, you know, that I've never experienced anywhere else.
What's one aspect of Hawaiian history that you wish that people that weren't from Hawaii knew?
There's a lot. I'll take it from a recent like stance. On January 17th, recently marked the 131st overthrow of the Hawaiian kingdom. And the illegal overthrow of our kingdom. And my queen was tried and imprisoned in her own palace by that of US business people. And they came here to and took advantage of the land here And they took advantage of the people here, and they took advantage of my monarchy. And so the things that are taught in public American public schools do not teach, they do teach about the overthrow, but they don't, everyone understands to be that Hawaii wanted to be annexed, Hawaii wanted to be a part of the US, but we never asked. In fact, we were forced to become a part of America. So what you think about Hawaii positively, there is zero, I would, in my opinion, there's zero positivity in the transition between Hawaii and the US and our relationship together. There's generational trauma. There's generational trauma that's still alive today. And it lives in all of our blood and lives in all of our people. And we, you know, it's a hardship. There's a lot of hardships. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words. There's so much.
No, you're doing great.
I want to say, for example, the way that the government is set up today, it makes it more expensive for Native Hawaiians, especially to live in our own home. Mm-hmm. So more than half of our own people live in the States than they live here, you know, in our own home. And it's our birthright to be able to own land here. So yeah, that's just one aspect that I want people to understand, that it's very hard for Native Hawaiians to live in our own home. One, because of our generational trauma, and one, because of the government, and two, because the government makes it very expensive for us to live here.
Sorry to interrupt you, Jay. I just wanted to add on and say, yes, like, for example, my family, they're half Samoan and half Filipino. I have that was on my dad's side. It's like a lot of family. And sadly, they moved to Texas because it was super too expensive for them to live here. And it's sad because I wish that they were in our music video Unfamiliar with my family, with them, but now they're in Texas. So it is super expensive. I just wanted to share that. Thank you, Jay.
That's so vulnerable for you to share. And I so appreciate you being brave and sharing that with our listeners, because I it's important to me as well to let people know about Hawaiian history. And I'm glad that it's coming from a group that is so actively carrying the torch for this. I think as an Asian-centered podcast, generational trauma comes up a lot. And all our parents wanted for us was to have more security and safety than they had. And it's something that, you know, I don't even bring it up, and it just comes up over and over again in these conversations. So I just really appreciate you giving me such a candid answer with that.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for asking the question. Sorry, I kind of butchered the answer there a little bit.
Absolutely not. No, that was great.
You slayed.
Okay, I'm going to do a lightning round, okay? And anyone can shout this out. This is a chance for you to put each other on blast. And if you don't want to answer, that's also okay. All right, question number one. Who's always late?
Asher.
Asher and Shil.
You guys are late. You guys are late. I come early.
All right, who's always early?
Shotaro.
Remember, I don't know. Recently, Shil's been pretty late.
Kind of slacking.
Yeah, because I have school, so.
I have a good story about Shil, actually. We started our training in a garage, in our garage of our producers, more like our executive producers of our label, kind of. They helped start the group, and they've given so much for us, but we actually started in their garage, doing our vocal training and dance training, in there. And Shil would show up every day early and set up, you know, the speakers, the benches. Yeah, he would set up everything in preparation for every practice, like every day. And so I just wanted
good little Asian.
Yeah.
We see you.
I always love to come early, but right now I have school, so it's been a little hard. But after school, I'll be early. Yeah.
That's amazing. Wait, so the label put you guys together. Did you have to audition? How did you... I never asked this question. How did you come together as a group?
Dev, you want to take this one?
Yeah. It was actually our previous label, the CEO of that label was trying to put together a boy group, and they did kind of, they scouted us from like Instagram, YouTube, just the internet. And they kind of reached out and was like, oh, hey, I'm trying to put together, or but everyone's experience was different. Mine was they reached out on Instagram and DM'd me saying, hey, I want you to audition for something. And it was very weird. So I didn't answer for like a year. But then later on, they got in touch with me. And then I sent in an audition, a singing thing. And she saw my dancing videos. And then I got a call later saying that I made it. But yeah, it was very much different for everyone. We were just kind of scouted, or connections. You know, connections here is very important. Just being connected in the community. Everyone knows everyone. So then just by word of mouth, that also happened too. Yeah.
Wow. What a life-changing DM.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else want to share before I go on the lightning round?
Actually, I have another funny story about my audition process.
Yeah, please.
I ended up going to a lunch early on with the CEO of our previous label. And so she asked me to send in an audition, and so I was playing ukulele and singing, but I was wearing this shirt that was, it was open like all the way down, just because I thought it was just for them to kind of like, you know, study and whatever. And then later they told me that like all the producers watched it, and like everyone on the executive team watched it. And I was like, oh no. Like I wasn't even wearing like a full shirt. And I was, yeah.
You're like, no one is going to see this.
Yeah, I was like, that's just, you know, we're already on good, you know, we're on those terms, you know, like I thought it was cool and it was just for them to look at. But
yeah,
then it became like a whole, it became a whole big thing. And I was so embarrassed.
Oh my God. You're like, this is just a Tuesday. I'm just being myself with my shirt open playing ukulele, you know. Well, that's great then. You were being your authentic self. So there's nothing wrong with that. All right. Who learns choreo the fastest?
Probably Devin. Devin, I think.
Devin.
I mean, all
Devin
all
and Shou.
I think Shou memorizes choreo for the longer period, though. Like, we'd be like, oh, do you remember the choreo from like 2 years ago? And he just starts doing it. And we're like, how do you like have enough space to memorize all this stuff?
That's true.
It's that fresh 15-year-old mind. That's what it is. It's very it's like a sponge. It's just, it retains better than we do. Okay, who eats the most junk food?
Oh, that's me right here.
Ash, that's me.
Definitely Ash. I love McDonald's. I like McDonald's.
Yeah, that's Ash.
I love McDonald's.
Eating McDonald's with the chopsticks.
Yes.
Who's the best cook?
Probably Jordan.
Jordan, I think. And also Monarch. Monarch also cooks a lot too.
Yeah, so the dads of the group. That makes sense.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
The grown-ups.
They don't, like they don't share though. Well. They don't share the food. They just cook it for themselves.
Wait, what do you mean? You don't share?
I share.
I'm kidding.
What about community? What about importance of family?
We're family, right?
It's actually funny because Jordan, Devin, and I live together.
Oh, cute.
Our tastes are so different. Like, we don't eat any of the same foods, barely.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you eat?
Like, I like to, like, for breakfast, for example, I like to eat like fresh fruits and yogurt and granola. But Jordan eats eggs, and Devin eats natto. So, you know, like we got different vibes going on like all the time.
Amazing. Well, so are you in three separate rooms right now in the same house? Hilarious.
Yeah. Actually, all here in different places.
Oh, really? That's so
I'm outside.
Funny.
They kicked me outside.
That's so funny. Okay, who's the best with grown-ups?
Monarch.
The oldest, yeah.
I think so.
Wait, yeah. What do you mean?
Like, who's the best when you have to deal with like the business aspect of things, like your management and like TV hosts and things?
Monarch.
Yeah, Monarch.
Sure. Monarch, definitely. Monarch.
Yeah. You're like, you're the leader. You take care of it. It's fine. We'll sit in the back and eat snacks.
The leader, because I was the loudest on day one. I talked the most on day one. So then they're like, yeah, make that person.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, we got to tell you a story. We all had to vote for who's going to be like our leader. Like,
oh my God.
Our previous CEO made us
vote. And they didn't pick you, Asher?
Oh, We were in a restaurant too. I think we like wrote it down and we just put it in the bucket. Who's gonna be our leader? I voted for Monarch though.
Did too.
Who did you guys vote for?
I voted for Monarch. Garden. Oh, really? Oh wow. Thanks. Also-
Monarch, did you vote for yourself?
No, I voted for Devin also.
Oh. Does that mean Devin is like vice president?
A little bit. We actually all are growing into our own leadership, you know, in lots of different areas. We're a group that has so many, like individually, we bring such unique things to the table. Yeah. So it actually has created an environment where we don't have too much conflict because we understand each other's strengths and we can get help from the person we need to get help from, you know, if we are struggling with a certain part. So I'm really proud of everyone in the group for, you know, the stepping up that they've done as leaders, you know, in their own ways.
Absolutely. That's great. Okay. Who's the biggest flirt?
Monarch.
Everyone, I think. No, I'm not going to do it.
Monarch was giving us lessons on how to flirt properly. They're like, look in the eyes. And like, look
back. What? When was this? I needed it.
You're gonna need it for when you have
the real training that we do here.
Yeah,
that's an intense crossing rein, self-directed training that we do.
Hey, you know, in K-pop, in the training centers, they have selfie classes, they have rapping classes. Why not have flirting classes? That's what they should really do, because those motherfuckers have no social skills. They have media training, but they're not allowed to date, so they don't know how to talk to the people. Not that I'm speaking out of experience. Maybe we'll save this conversation for your Patreon. All right. Well, you guys have been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. Enjoy the rest of your day. You can catch Crossing Rein on Instagram at Crossing Rein. And you can check out their latest single, Black Hole Heart, out everywhere now.
Yes,
thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much again to Crossing Rein for joining us on the show today. You can find them on Instagram at Crossing Rein. Their most recent single, Black Hole Heart, is out now. Please subscribe, follow, and rate the podcast on whatever platform you listen to. Your engagement really helps us make the show better. We love hearing from you. Tell us what you think about the show and what this latest episode meant to you and who you'd like to hear from in future episodes. You can send us a message on Instagram at goldenhourpod, or you can email us at goldenhour@gmail.com. Golden Hour is created by me and produced and edited by Dave Yim, proudly part of the Potluck Podcast Collective. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.